Chairperson Kevin McCann. Board Member James Evans.
Here.
Board Member Michael Ferrante.
Here.
Board Member Bart Phillips.
Here.
Assistant City Attorney Kristen Ike.
Here.
Okay, we're all here.
Can we please stand for a moment of silence and the pledge? Please face the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes to the agenda for this evening?
No, sir, not that I know of.
All right, let's see. Item number 100 and 200 not used. I would like to go ahead and open up for public input. This is going to be for any topics that are not on the agenda. So if you would like to get up and speak to anything that might interest you. Okay, seeing and hearing none, we will close the first public input. Move on to the consent agenda, item number 300. The Office of City Clerk requests P&Z approve the minutes from October 2nd, 2019.
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Alrighty. Board Member Phillips?
Aye.
Chairperson Ma?
Aye.
Board Member Evans?
Aye.
Board Member Ferrante?
Aye.
Under the public hearings agenda, item number 400, Winter Springs Town Homes.
Hello. Good evening. My name is Marla Molina. I'm the senior city planner, and I'm here to present the Winter Springs Town Homes project to you tonight. I'm going to give you an overview of the project. The applicant, Dreamfinders Homes, is proposing a 114-unit, fee-simple townhome development within the town center. The subject parcel is approximately 8 acres and is located at the northeast corner of Michael Blake Boulevard and Tree Swallow Drive. The project is located within the town center and transect T5, the urban center zone. The future land use designation is Town Center District. And this district permits single family outright attached townhomes. And as we know, the town center core consists of a higher intensity of mixed uses, such as retail, offices, and residential. So the proposed layout that's in front of you today consists of 10 two-story and 10 three-story buildings for a total of 20 buildings, ranging in size from 3 to 10 units per building, a swimming pool, a cabana, and a park area, which is located in front of the swimming pool and cabana. The development features a grid of public streets and private alleys. The internal buildings will face the public streets. The townhomes are located along the perimeter of the development in front that will front Tree Swallow Drive, Michael Blank Boulevard, and the Cross Seminole Trail. One of the main features of the development is that there will be immediate access to the Cross Seminole Trail with the ability for residents to use the trail for access to nearby shopping, schools, parks, and other community destinations. The proposed townhomes does require 228 parking spaces, and all of the townhome units will have two-car garages. Per city code, each two-car garage is counted as one space, giving 114 garage spaces. The townhomes are accessed from the alleys at the back of the buildings. The remainder of the development provides 115 surface parking along the streets and are distributed throughout the development, resulting in a cumulative total of 229 parking spaces within the development. The townhomes are accessed from Tree Swallow Drive, and the townhomes stormwater is served by a master stormwater pond to the east. And the proposed fiscal impact to the city's taxable value is approximately $60,000 per year. And at this time, the city attorney would like to discuss the developer's agreement that is attached to this development.
Sure. So with the passage of what we'll call the special zoning permit ordinance, which is ordinance 2019-09, Now, the willingness of the developer to enter into a development agreement is a factor for both waivers and final engineering plans. So that was one reason for having the development agreement that you see in your packet. And part of the development agreement does state that they will develop the property in accordance with the final engineering plans and waivers, and there's a file number that's given in the development agreement itself. The other issue that the development agreement was really intended to address was with regard to the conveyance of neighborhood squares number 4 and 5. And so let me give a little bit of background about that. And it really dates back to about the year 2000 when the city entered into a development agreement with Mr. Scrimsher, who at the time owned the property that's essentially from east of Tuscaloosa Road, north of 434, and over basically to the Cross Seminole Trail. And through that development agreement, Mr. Scrimsher agreed to consent to the adoption of the Town Center Code. And there was also some discussion of the conveyance of open spaces to the city. And so that's what this exhibit is that's on the screen. There, you'll notice I have the pointer here. So there's neighborhood square number 4 and number 5. And you'll see there were some others that were included as well, right here and here, and then Wetland Park. So all of those were negotiated through that development agreement. Now, that development agreement eventually was terminated after the recession, but part of that discussion of the termination resulted in a new development agreement from 2010, in which the requirement to convey the neighborhood parks was maintained, and that that future development commitment agreement is recorded against the property. And in 2018, I believe is when January of 2018 is when the City Commission did review preliminary engineering plans for this project, and the neighborhood parks were not included at that time. So those the discussion of those parks has recently come up with after reviewing title work and recognizing that. Now, the I think it's safe to say that the developer would disagree that they or dispute the necessity to convey those parks. But at the City Commission meeting on September 23rd, the City Commission requested that staff and the developer work to try to come up with some sort of a compromise about these parks. And so that really is the other main piece of the development agreement that is included in the packet. And I just wanted to briefly review the main points of that. One of the, Ed or Marla, could you go to the engineering plan itself and show that? So one of the points is that there will be the planting of elm and crepe myrtle trees along the northern boundary of the property and along the trail, so right about there. And they will be 15 feet apart and 2.5-inch caliper. There will also be irrigation installed there to support those trees. There will be a minimum of 5 doggy bag stations in the development itself that'll be maintained by the HOA. And significantly, there are 2 property conveyances that are required. One would be right here. Now, it doesn't include that existing lift station property, but it would, where it says here, park parcel dedicated to the city of Winter Springs, this whole area here would be conveyed to the city. And then in addition, Marla, could you go to where it shows the detention pond property? I don't know if it shows it on this, but the map the property appraiser map, maybe. I think that was up earlier. There's also another area that would be conveyed to the city north of the detention pond that is to the east of this property. So there's also a cash contribution to the city of $125,000. Okay, thank you. So this would be approximately the area that would be conveyed to the city north of that detention pond. Finally, the city, the developer would work with the city in terms of, now you can see on this aerial, there is a open ditch, stormwater ditch currently that feeds into that stormwater pond. And that will be piped, so that the developer will work with the city in terms of the location of that pipe, and the city would need to grant an easement for them to maintain that in the future. So with that, I'll turn it back to Marla.
So at this time, the staff recommends that the Planning and Zoning Board forward a recommendation of approval to the City Commission for the aesthetic review, the final engineering plans, multiple waivers, conditions of approval, and the development as presented by staff. And staff and the applicant are here available for questions. Thank you for your time.
Discussion?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. So the detention pond, the 4 acres, what is that for the city? Like, why did the city agree to that? Because obviously it's more, they're required 0.82 acres under the 2010 scrimture. So what is that 4 acres? Why is that vital to the city?
Yeah, I'll let Sean address that.
There's two purposes in the properties that are being conveyed, we feel are a fair swap. One is the one that Kristen pointed out first, which is in the, I want to say, the northwest corner, which will also act as, we're going to put a trail amenity there. We'll probably put a overhead, some type of a pavilion. We're looking at possibly putting some restrooms and things in that in that area. The flip side of it is, it's not a retention pond. The acreage that's being conveyed is not retention pond. We purposely don't want the retention pond.
Right.
The acreage that's alongside of it is heavily wooded, and the intention there is to put a passive park in that area. So if you look at the approximate trees that are being lost along the northeast and north, call it the east side of that property, if you look at the property that's being conveyed, it's almost two trees for one tree that they're taking out. So there was some fairness in canopy that we're getting. They're taking some out. And so for the 0.88, we're getting almost 400% more in property conveyed to us. And we felt that along with the canopy overhead that's being put in along the trail and a cash contribution, there was actually a mathematical formula that we used to derive that. That was not just pulled out of the sky.
Right.
We actually did some math on it.
And so that what your idea turned into the park, is that going to be part of the general fund, the capital improvement fund? Like, where is the funding going to come from that? What's the timeline for that?
Well, the funding could. I'm not the final say on that. The
right.
commission is, but the funding could come from the $125,000 that
okay.
is being contributed. It makes sense.
And is the idea to turn into like a Bear Creek Park, where it's just kind of a nature trail
yes,
that goes through
absolutely.
There?
Absolutely.
Not
that's,
like a Sam Smith or
Trotwood
yes. or anything like that.
Okay. We've already had some preliminary discussions about butterfly bushes, et cetera, for kind of a natural trail. It's fairly dry in there, so it's walkable.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously that one corner piece, we're looking at possibly, like I said, an overhead canopy, but also an area for pets and things to walk on. One of the things that we missed in the discussion is We also required them to have dog stations within the confines of their property so that we don't have what's currently going on in the town center, which is we're being overrun by animals with no place to go. So.
Okay.
Yeah, if somebody else has a question.
I've got a question as to they're conveying this property to us and paying a certain amount of money, $125,000. But why are they doing that? So that we'll approve the building? Or?
Well, it essentially would be in lieu of the neighborhood squares that I pointed out that were previously contemplated. Like I said, they're obviously the developers, I think, would say that they dispute that they have to do that, but what they're doing is in lieu of that and basically having to redesign the project to accommodate those, we are negotiating this in exchange.
So instead of the squares, we're going to get some area we can build some parks?
As Sean described, and in addition, that the area that's above that detention pond, which really would be more, I think, conservation type use, passive park. Yeah.
And the package of waivers comes into that, the ones where they want to increase the setback because the roadway is incurring further from the buildings and has to go from 8 feet to 11, and those kind of waivers, that's all in that package.
The waivers are related to, yes, the final engineering plan, though that specific waiver, I'm not sure, is necessarily related to the park issue.
Okay, I was just wondering if you threw it all together as a package with the parks and the money and the waivers, everything.
Right. Well, typically the final engineering plans and any waivers that are necessary and the aesthetic review all kind of come to you as a package.
Okay, well, we've had it, so. That's all I have.
Marla, could you please pull up the aerial that shows the boundary of the site? I think it was one of the first slides. Okay. So access, the only access is on Tree Swallow?
Access where previously there was an access on the corner where the park is dedicated now, and that access has now been removed. So it's here. You see that? This is the only access right here where my hand is, where it goes into Street A.
Okay. And with respect to, this is more of an engineering question, but with respect to emergency access to the various buildings, three-story buildings and such. Has the circulation been looked at?
Yeah, I can answer that. Christopher Schmidt, Community Development Director. We sent the comments to FIRE with the reconfiguration, and they did not have an issue with it, and they reviewed it, and they were good to go with it in regards to the new configuration, which actually parlays a little better because now you have less traffic flow coming as you're walking the pedestrian trail. Now you don't have to actually have a car coming out of the subdivision. You actually are pulling the traffic off of Michael Lake and then going off a Tree Swallow, which it actually runs a little better, theoretically.
Okay.
So I don't know if this is a question for Mr. Boyle or Madam Attorney. So the 2010, are we calling the 2010 scrimshire? Is that kind of the
property? Yeah, it's called a future development commitment agreement. Okay. That's what it's called. But yes.
So the intent of community squares or neighborhood squares 4 and 5, what was kind of the spirit of the law in that? Like, what were those parks designed to look like? Or what were they supposed to be? Were they supposed to be green spaces or were they supposed to be parks, as a lay person would understand?
I think that they were described as neighborhood squares that were part of the town center. That was really part of the town center code design,
right,
of having gathering spaces for people. I don't, and I think they were intended to be more of an open space rather than built with, you know, playground equipment or things like that.
So ostensibly the third of an acre at the lift station would kind of be in the spirit of that then as an open space. My other concern is that, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, they, I guess they're disputing the idea of that. Was that in their Schedule A on the title policies? Or, I mean, is that something that they'd be allowed to answer or anything like that? I mean, did, can we definitely for sure show that they knew that this was a recorded issue on their land?
It was a recorded agreement in the official records of Seminole County.
Okay. And it is your opinion of the city that the property that they currently occupy is under that agreement?
That it would be subject to that agreement? Yes.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Between the park and the development, will there be a fence put up there or it's going to be open straight through?
On that top corner?
Top left-hand corner. Is it going to be access to be walking straight through, or is it going to be fenced between the development and the park?
Well, it's not going to be fenced. There is a wall, so there will be a safety railing there, but then there's access to, and Marla's pointing it out right there, there'll be access to, and then actually if you go to the other side of the site, there's access points that you can literally walk through the entire subdivision. So it won't be cut off if that's what we're asking. It'll be accessible, and you can walk through the whole subdivision if you wish to. Granted, most people are probably going to take the turn, stop at the whatever we evolve the park into, and then continue on the trail.
Well, I'm just looking at the park section itself. If
okay.
They're going to be able to walk through and have access.
Yeah, you'll be able to access from the trail, and then you'll be access from the on the other side of the lift station.
Okay.
Because there isn't a wall there. You can see the wall. See the darker shaded line to the north?
Mm-hmm.
That's the wall where you'll have to have a sitting because you can't just.
How high is the wall?
Less than 3 feet.
Okay, so,
but that
so
requires,
you can see straight
that requires
through.
A
okay.
For safety railing, just for safety purposes. You don't want people falling off 3 foot. You can still hurt yourself.
Well,
I probably wouldn't get up from
want,
it, but
don't want
my kid would
wall.
Be great. So, yeah.
Okay.
Do we know? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to ask if there was any other discussion.
What is, I don't want to call it the traffic count, but what's the pedestrian count on the Cross Seminole Trail right there? And what's its projected impact to go up with these townhomes? Basically, what's the utility? What's the usefulness of this 4-acre park?
We don't currently have those numbers, but we can get those numbers for you.
Because it just seems like, I mean, the idea for the waiver I mean, in the packet that we were given and part of our code is that it has to be for the general welfare of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to make this land swap, which sounds like a cool idea, it's a super creative idea,
mm-hmm.
but if it's not going to have utility for the citizens of Winter Springs, what's the point? So, I mean, it's great in terms of, you know, mathematical landmass, but if nobody's going to use this park, then it's really kind of a wash for the citizens, based on the original intent of the agreement, as I understand it.
Well, as a resident of a neighboring city, if there's a park there and I'm walking along the trail, we do utilize it to get the counts. Again, we can go to Seminole County and try to get the counts. But I rest assured, with fair certainty, I can say that people, if there's a park there and available to you, because if you go across the pedestrian bridge now, we don't have the sign, there's a little rest area there. So when you come for the pedestrian, you know where the area I'm talking about if you walk the trail. There isn't a lot of coverage. So when you come across there, it would be a perfect rest stop for people when they're walking the trail. Because that's people of my age are typically looking for a rest spot every so often.
Mm-hmm.
So statistically, that would be a good spot for a spot. And again, we can ask Seminole County for the numbers if they have the numbers available, and then we can bring them to the City Commission.
Okay.
Okay.
But there won't be a gate there where it's like right where it says F. There won't be a gate.
No, correct. There will not be a gate.
Okay.
It is not a gated. No.
Any other discussion? At this point, I open it up to public input. Is that correct?
I believe so. You can actually, if you wanted to make a motion as well.
Well, we would want the developer to be able to present if they'd like to.
Dan Edwards with Dreamfinders Homes, 8529 South Park Circle, number 130, Orlando, Florida. We don't have an additional presentation. We've been working with staff for the past several months to come up with a solution that we thought would be amicable to everybody. So we're in agreement with the staff as proposal as it's been presented. Thank you.
So motion first or public input first?
Public input first.
Okay, thank you. All right, so at this time then, after our discussion, we'll open it up to public input. I do have one speaking request. And let's see, so we'll go through that and then see if there is any other request to speak. So this one is from Gina Schaefer, please. Please state your name and address.
Yeah, Gina Schaefer, the Winter Springs Villages. First of all, I know that you all do this out of the kindness of your heart for our citizens and community, so I appreciate it. But I live right next door to this property. And I have gone and asked my people in my development to come this meeting, the time of day that it is, it's difficult for some people to come. So when I was looking through the waiver application, and I may be incorrect, I don't do this for a living, so I could be incorrect, but according to it, it said that they wanted to do away with the grass between the sidewalk and the street. Because it would make access for the people to be able to come right onto this sidewalk from the street. And on the opposite side of the where the Blake is, it is grass and then like parking area. So I'm just saying, and sidewalk. And this would not keep with the look of the town center. I live in the Winter Springs Village. I have grass, then the parking space where people have to walk through. And I read what they said as the reason they would want that, but that's how it is, and it looks, it makes our community look so much nicer, okay? And I know that they said because they need that setback for the, I don't know which building, A or B or whatever, but what I'm saying is change it. It doesn't look really like they've changed any design, to be honest, okay? And when I came to the city commission meeting, I said, and unless you live it, you don't know it, but the people that live in the Blake, they have nowhere to walk their dogs, okay? So in my opinion, by getting rid of the grass on that outside property, and I'm just saying, most people don't just walk their dogs inside their community. They come out to the trail, they come along those sidewalks, and if we take the grass away from them, that's a big deal. Because we're already getting rid of a lot of grass. So I'm just saying, also, the ground was supposed to have a park on it, and I kind of agree, how is that going to be accessed to the community? I totally agree with what you've stated earlier. And a lot of people that came to Ted Johnson's town hall meeting could not believe that they went through the process, but they didn't read what they had to do. So I'm just saying that people are concerned about it. I know they're not here tonight, but I'm just letting you know people really were concerned about it. They were kind of like almost like shocked that because we couldn't really speak at the city commission meeting, but when it was at Ted's meeting that we were all talking, we're like, I mean, when you do a title search, you know what you have to do. I mean, I've bought houses. I've done title searches. That's why you do them. So I'm just asking you, especially for, we've done so many different waivers for the town center, that you consider at least even the grass part, consider what I'm asking. And like I said, I appreciate your time. Like I said, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schaefer. With respect to the waiver that Ms. Schaefer is referring to, is that for the internal roads, or is it the frontage roads that make up the perimeter of the development?
Dan Edwards with Dreamfinders Homes. Again, Jason Mahoney, our engineer, is here as well. I believe the waiver, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, is for streets A and D, which are internal inside the community.
And B and C as well.
And B and C.
So what we're doing is the town center code requires a 6-foot strip of grass and a 6-foot sidewalk mm-hmm. adjacent to all streets. And in the cases of street D, A, C, and B, we're just taking the sidewalk and the grass strip and swapping them. They're still both provided, they're still both within the right-of-way. It's just that the sidewalk would be directly adjacent to the parallel parking, then the grass strip, then the right-of-way line.
And correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of that had to do with just kind of the topo and the grading of the site.
Exactly.
What would make more sense to not have the building so close to the sidewalk with the elevation the way it was? And additionally, I know it's been brought up, the location of our, it's a little hard to see, but it is labeled on this plan. The five dog stations are between buildings 1 and 4. The 5 and 10 down to the southern section, there's a dog station there. There's also one inside the center amenity area. There's one to the east side, closer to the trail between buildings 14 and 12, with some open space there. And then the fifth one is up to the north between buildings 18 and 19. So we felt like after meeting and discussing the need for dog stations that we kind of wanted to kind of cover the north, south, west, and east, and then also have kind of a central station for to cover all those areas.
All right. And just to reiterate, on roads A, B, C, and D, the sidewalk and grass strip are there, and the full width is 6 and 6. It's just swapped locations.
Yes.
Okay.
I read that so that when you get out, it's only where the parallel parking is, so that when you get out of your car, you're stepping onto what is not mud or mulch or plants. And
it was one of the driving forces behind making it.
But there's still grass on the other side of the sidewalk.
And there's still trees planted within it still. And they all meet the right-of-way criteria of the town center code.
And that 6 foot of the grass, that'll still be owned by the HOA, not part of the property line of the owner?
Actually, any of them that are within streets, named streets, would end up being street city right-of-way.
Okay. Ms. Schaefer, does that answer your concern?
Yeah. I didn't the access for us to get into, because I couldn't really understand it, the access of the park. I understand that part.
Okay.
And I appreciate you clarifying
that. When I read through the waiver, it was a little confusing the way the wording was, so it was good to make sure that we understood how that was. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak on item number 400? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we will close the public input for 400.
And Chairperson, can we open it for discussion one more time?
Of course.
Do
we make a motion before discussion?
Or? I believe you can still do discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, you can discuss.
Okay.
So this is a question for Ms. Ilk, correct?
Ike.
I mm-hmm. sincerely apologize.
That's okay.
Ms. Ike. So during the September 23rd meeting, Anthony read in part of the code about the preliminary approvals and things.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I took from that is that somebody who has an offer contingent upon a preliminary approval, they can't use the city's preliminary approval as part of their basis for their contractual decision to purchase a property.
I really can't comment on what they would use as part of a basis for their contract.
But a preliminary approval does not forego the city's rights to enforce deed restrictions?
Well, typically the city doesn't enforce private deed restrictions, but there may be, but in this case, I think what you're referring to is a development agreement entered into with the city, where the city is a party to that agreement.
Okay. Okay. So that's it for me.
I'm good. All right. Mm-hmm. In that case, after hearing and discussing, can I get a motion?
All right, I'll give the a motion to to approval of 400.
Just to clarify, does that include all of the conditions of approval and contained in the staff report?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
All right. Roll call. Chairperson Ma?
Aye.
Board Member Evans?
Nay.
Board Member Parente?
Aye.
Board Member Phillips?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes. All right. Continuing to the regular agenda, item number 500 not used, and we will go to any reports from any of the board members. We'll start now with James. Anything to report?
Nothing of too major significance, but the Veterans Day tribute was a fantastic event, so as always.
I'm fine.
Okay. No report from me?
No.
Nope. And lastly, we have our last public input. If anybody has anything more to say, you're free to address the podium. Seeing and hearing none, we will close the final public.
Hold on, I think Gina's
got one. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted to ask how are we only going to be able to access the park that is going to be the designated park in the back from the trail?
Are you talking about the park in the corner?
Over by the one all the way that way.
The four acre.
My understanding is that it's adjacent to the trail and just an open lot, so to speak, where you, from the trail, you would just walk right off of it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Okay. We will close public input then, and this meeting is adjourned.
Yeah.